Today's scripture lesson comes from 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. From the very first day, we were there, taking it all in. We heard it with our own ears, saw it with our own eyes, verified it with our own hands. The word of life appeared right before our eyes. We saw it happen. And now you're telling me you're in most sober prose that what we witnessed was incredibly this: the infinite life of God Himself took shape before us. We saw it, we heard it, and now we're telling you so you can experience it along with us. The experience of communion with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. Our motive for writing is simply this: we want you to enjoy this too. Your joy will double our joy. This, in essence, is the message we heard from Christ and are passing on to you. God is light, pure light. There's not a trace of darkness in Him. If we claim that we experience a shared life with Him and continue to stumble around in the dark, we're obviously lying through our teeth. We are not living what we claim, but if we walk in the light, God Himself being the light, we also experience a shared life with one another. As the sacrificed blood of Jesus, God's Son, purges all our sin. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Lord, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts will be acceptable to you. We give you thanks and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Rob, thank you so much for doing such a great job in leading our scripture. Appreciate your willingness to do this. It's a testimony when people get up and do work. And I had the opportunity this week to meet with the District Board of Ordained Ministry for my yearly meeting. And praise God, I'm still here.
Amen.
And God is good. All the time, God is good. And I thank you for your support. And but something got my attention this week is we're seeing a lot of things, and the reason I chose 1 John this morning, we're talking about the blood of Jesus Christ and the importance of the blood of Christ. And I saw a story about one of our bishops that's a professor at a United Methodist seminary, and her words were this: I'm tired of this slaughterhouse religion. We need to get it out of our pulpits and our churches as quickly as possible. That is, there's too much blood. Well, medically, what happens when the body doesn't have blood? You die. And if the church doesn't have the blood of Jesus, what happens?
It dies.
It dies. And what brought this scripture to highlight is Monday or Tuesday, I think it was, I had to go to the hospital because I have this handy Christmas package in here. And I had a bleeding problem. And it was a very interesting thing about the blood of Christ. And when that thing was pumping, and you know, there's blood going where it shouldn't go. Well, the blood of Christ, the body of Christ. This is why that we are here. And the body of Christ, if we take the blood away, then the body of Christ has no purpose. The blood of Christ is what we are about. The word blood is found over 400 times in the Bible. The Bible begins with blood in Genesis, talking about when Cain shed the blood of his brother Abel. And it ends in the book of Revelation when Jesus returns in Revelation chapter 19, verse 13, when he returns wearing a robe that was dipped in blood. 1 John 1, verse 7 says, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from our sin. cleansing us from our sin. And the way we remove the sin of stain within our lives is the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is how we do it. The sacrifice that Christ made on the cross that was done for you and for me and anybody who will believe. The blood of Christ comes from a supernatural person. The verse that we had, the key verse this morning of our scripture, is 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, talking about the blood of God's own Son. Not ordinary blood, but the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood that flowed into His veins, into a person, Jesus Christ, it was supernatural, a person with no sin, a person with no blemish, a person who was a perfect, sinless life. Acts verse 20, verse 28 tells us in the New Living Translation, "So guard yourselves and God's people, feed and shepherd God's flock." That's His church, purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood that was shed on the cross was the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of God. It was done for you and for me. This is critical to understand because it was innocent blood. Innocent blood. Judas said, after he betrayed our Lord in Matthew 27:4, he says, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." Jesus is the only person who's ever born who was truly innocent. Every other person that's born, when our children are born, or when we were born, or our grandbabies are born, they are born with a sinful nature. And this is why when the child is several months old, we take and the baby is baptized. Because we as the church are doing like Jesus was done when God claimed Jesus and said, "This is my Son with whom I'm claiming and I am pleased." And the same is said when we claim a child that we are going to represent and raise this child within the nurture and care of the church until this child can turn their own life over and say, "I am now trusting in the Lord myself." But that baptism has to do with claiming of the Lord within our lives and claiming people and children for God because we are born with this spiritual nature. When Jesus died on the cross, innocent blood died on the cross, and He was not guilty of a sin. He was not guilty of any crime. But He went and took our sin to the cross. He went to the cross claiming that sin on our behalf, giving us the opportunity to be saved. You see, when we talk about sin and crime, it's not a crime to gossip, but it's a sin. It is not a crime not to tithe to the church with our talent, our times, and our gifts, but it is a sin. So there are two distinct things there when we talk about a law, a crime, or a sin. See, Jesus was judged on both, but He was innocent of both things. He had not committed a crime, nor had He sinned. When Jesus was dying on the cross in Luke 23:34, one of the last words He said was, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing. Forgive them. They do not know." Jesus never had to offer the prayer when He died, "Lord, forgive me of my sins," like we do when we go to give our lives to God. That simple prayer of, "Lord, receive me, I come to You confessing my sins to You." See, Jesus never did that because He had no sins. What Jesus did was He prayed for the sins of us. And He gave His life for us, that we could be freed from the evil and power of sin. That's the reason He didn't have to seek forgiveness. Hebrews 4, chapter 15 tells us, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize." You see, Jesus is our high priest, and Jesus can sympathize with what it is that we go through within our lives. He understands our weaknesses. He understands because He was tempted in His life, But he never gave in to that temptation. He was without sin. So we come to that throne of grace, confessing our sins, that the Lord will come in and he will cleanse us. He was without sin. And we can come to the one who was without sin, and he can take on our sins, the throne of grace. And by doing that, we find mercy and help in a time of need, in these words from Hebrews 4. 2 Corinthians tells us in chapter 5, verse 21, "For he made him who knew no sin to be our sin, that we might become in righteousness with him." Or if we look at the easy-to-read version, chapter 5, verse 21, it says, "Christ had no sin, but God made him become sin so that we could become right with God." See, God did this for us. Now, if Jesus had not been innocent, he could not have taken our guilt. He could not have taken our issue. But he did. He dealt with it as if it was his own, so he could help us. He did not die for his sin, but Jesus died for our sin because he took on our sin at the cross. Peter says in the epistle, 1 Peter 1, "You were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, but with the valuable blood of Christ." The blood cleanses us with a supernatural power. 1 John 1:17 goes on at the end to say, "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanse us." Now it's important for us to see that Jesus, it doesn't say that he cleansed us, and it doesn't say that he will cleanse us. It says that he is cleansing us. And as we in the Christian body and in our faith tradition, we are in a cleansing process throughout our lives. And as we are in this process throughout our life, we are being cleansed on a daily basis. We need to be cleansed. And when we become a believer, we say, "Okay, now I don't think I'm ever going to sin again." Or what happens when I sin? See, many times we drink that Kool-Aid that says, "Once I become a believer, I'm never going to have any issues again in our lives." How many here, since you have taken the Lord as your Savior in your life, have had an issue? How many have fallen short of the glory of God? How many have cussed? You see, the cleansing process is an ongoing thing. It's not something that happens once. Let me give you the good news and bad news. We get saved today. There's a strong chance we are going to sin tomorrow. But the good news is, when we do this and we sin and we have a problem, we are going to be forgiven because the blood of Christ is what has saved us. And it's what takes us and helps us to go forward in our lives. We are in a cleansing process. When I went to the hospital, and one thing that Joe, last Sunday we got talking about this pacemaker medical stuff, and about 3 minutes into discussion, Joe says, "Okay, we're in Bible class, we need to stop talking health." Understand, Joe? Well, I'll tell you, when I was at the hospital, I have a new thankfulness for humanity. When anybody walks up to the hospital going like that, what's the first thing people do? Well, I wasn't having a heart attack, praise God, but I was leaking. And it was everywhere. And I was at the house and was trying to cleanse the wound and just, oh man. And I take this Eliquis, the new modern marvel. And what does it make you do? It makes you bleed. So I get to the hospital, and there's a lineup of people in the ER. And I'm standing there like this. Oh, you go. Go ahead of us. Go ahead of us. No, I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm just bleeding. I'm just keeping pressure there so it doesn't leak. I got to tell you, try that more often. You get in quicker. No. But something reminds me of the blood of Christ in cleansing. I was wearing a brand new pair of tennis shoes that Bonnie bought me. They are beautiful, but they're white. You know what happens with blood and white shoes? And I go in and they take me to the gurney. And the attendant took me back, the nurse. Saw my shoes. Oh my. And they said, let's get you set up. And the person came back. He came back with a bottle of hydrogen peroxide and some towels. Here, while you're waiting, and you'll be waiting for a while, cleanse your shoe with the hydrogen peroxide. Keep doing it over and over and over for a while, and the blood will be washed away. And you know what's interesting? You take that hydrogen peroxide, and you put it on the shoe, and the blood goes away for a little bit, but then it comes back. Put it on there again, goes away for a little bit, then it comes back. But after four or five times, it was less. Less and less blood, and more of the white of the color of the shoe. It makes me think of what Jesus does for us. He cleanses us every day. He cleanses us every time we have an issue or something going on with our lives. We are cleansed. We are going through a cleansing process in our lives. It's not something we do once and we move on. That's why once saved, always saved really doesn't cut it, because you got to work on it all the time. You got to always be in the cleansing process. Cleansing process. Little boy hated taking baths. He hated getting soap and water in his eyes and in his hair. And one day his mom was trying desperately to get him to take his bath. And, son, do you want to be a nice, clean little boy? He said, yes, Mom, I do. Can't you just dust me off? How many here, your dog's in the backyard after a storm and it's wet? Your dog's got two front paws that are dirty, but the last two are clean. You let the dog in, yes or no? You got to have all four of those paws clean. Now, in the case of my daughter's dog, he's only got three, so you got to have two or three, you know. So, but you know the idea is you got to have them all clean. Just can't have part of it. When we receive Jesus Christ, we are all clean. All two of our feet. Of course, some of us have 4 feet, but we're cleansed, and we are cleansed in a process, and it continues. This is what it means to be cleansed in the Spirit. When we receive Jesus in our lives, a filter is over God's eyes. And by doing this, God does not see the sins in our lives because Jesus paid the price for those sins. So those sins are washed away. And it's an opportunity for us to also not see those with one another, with ourselves, with our family. It's an opportunity for us to see people with a new light. You see, with what Jesus, the beloved Son, did for us, God doesn't see our imperfections. The blood completes a supernatural process. The last part of verse John 1 verse 7, 1 John 1 says, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. With a person who is totally made clean in the eyes of Jesus. You see, when we do that, we are completely new people. We're completely forgiven. A fresh start. A fresh life. So many people have the idea of salvation being like an installment plan. You know, we go to the bank and we buy a home. We have to make payments forever, every month. We make that payment. It's a down payment. Some people, when it comes to the church and a relationship with God, they make the down payment. And then they make little payments by acting religious, or they make installment payments by showing up at church, or learning the Ten Commandments, or acting just right. But the good news is this. When Jesus went to the cross, He paid that loan in full. Everything was paid in full. That mortgage is gone. But we've got to work in our lives on staying cleansed. We have to do that every day. Seek God's strength within our lives. Have an entire time in our lives with a desire to take and to grow. To continue cleansing ourselves. Christian perfection, Christian growing, Christian knowledge, moving forward within our faith and our relationship with Jesus Christ and with one another. The highest holiday in the Jewish tradition is Passover. It celebrates both the exodus of the people of Israel from Egypt and the night when God's death angel passed over all the homes through Egypt and slaughtered every firstborn of a house that did not have on the door, the entry door, the blood of a lamb on that door frame. Every home that was a believer had that on their door. When the death angel came over, that house has a lot of religion. But if they do not have the blood of the lamb, death hit that home. The angel comes over to another house. They got a lot of real nice, hard-working people in there. But if they do not have the blood on the door, the blood of the lamb, death hit that home. Come to another home, a nice, happy family, wonderful people, but they do not believe and did not have the blood of the Lamb on their door. What happened? Death hit that home. But if you have the blood on the door, I will pass over you because you are believers. The same is with our faith. Our faith is all or none. We cannot be one-third Christian and two-thirds world. We've got to devote our lives to what God is about. We can have remorse in our lives, but if we don't have the blood, we don't have it. We can be happy people. We can have a lot of money. But if we have not the cleansing, we don't have it. Pretty cut and dry. See, when God sees religion, that's not what He's looking for. What God wants to see is us, our hearts, and the blood of Jesus within our lives. The point I'm making is there, if there was any other way, or any other way it could have taken place, or any other method or manner, a way to be cleansed, a way to be forgiven, a way to be a new person, other than by Jesus giving His life, Jesus would have had to do that. But that's what He did. This is what was set up by God to be done. God, through the Son, shed His blood on the cross. Only we can be cleansed. And when we are cleansed from all of our sins. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we go cleansed, a cleansing process,